There are, you know, there have been a lot of stories and movies and books out there about extraterrestrial beings, haven't there? Some that are for fun and some people really think it's real. Hollywood loves to tell a good alien story. I mean, just ask Sigourney Weaver. She has made a ton of money off after being in three different alien movies. And then we have those cute little alien critters like from the movie E.T. Remember E.T.? Made Reese's Pieces fame. My kids saw E.T. for the first time a few years ago, and they did not see the attraction. With today's ability to make movies, E.T. looks a lot like a puppet. Then there were the Men in Black movies that came out, and they've had several of those over the years, giving us a whole new idea of aliens, that aliens might be here in disguise on this earth, and we're not even aware of it. And then, of course, the all-known Star Wars fans cantina scene in Star Wars, right? That epic scene with all the aliens in the room. My question is who really is and isn't the alien there? It's not on planet Earth. So guess what? Luke Skywalker, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Han Solo, they're all aliens in that scene because they're not from that world. Marvel and DC Comics have given us a whole new view of aliens. I mean, technically speaking, Marvel fans and DC comic fans, Thor and Superman are aliens. That's what they are. As good looking as some women might think that they are, they're not from this world. They're from another planet, right? They're aliens. The list of aliens and alien movies could go on and on. But you know what? The idea of aliens goes way back. As a matter of fact, maybe farther back than you're aware. There are times where my kids have over the years asked me, and even some adults have asked me time to time, do you believe that there are really aliens? Is there a such thing as aliens? Well, you know what? I'm going to give you the answer today, my answer on the record. Are you ready for the question, are there really aliens? Yes, there are absolutely aliens that exist, and not only do they exist, but they're on this planet, and not only are they on this planet, but I believe there are some in this room. Aliens that actually exist, but actually the concept of an alien goes way back to the Bible. However, don't misquote me on Facebook before I explain myself. The aliens that I'm talking about, the aliens that the Bible's talking about, are not the same kind of aliens that you may be thinking of or that Hollywood tries to portray. So let's go to the Bible to see what it says to us about aliens. In 1 Peter 2:11 through 12, it says this. Peter says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers." There it is, folks. "To abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans," that's people who don't yet know God, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. You see, friends, there are aliens on this earth. It's in the Bible, and it's you, and it's me as followers of Jesus. Now look around the room for a minute, and maybe this will explain a lot to you. To know that there are some aliens. I'm just kidding about that, but we really are all strangers at times, aren't we? A little bit. According to God's word, if you've given your life to Jesus, then you know what? Your identity has had a change. You've had a citizenship change. Your home is no longer this world that we're dwelling in. And this here and this time, until eventually you find yourself at home in heaven. We've been looking the past several weeks at what our identity is as Christians, looking at different things the Bible tells us that are true of us, and it's clear from Scripture that we're strangers and aliens in this land. So let's prepare to unpack that a bit further this morning. Let's say a word of prayer as we prepare to do that. God, the Bible has a lot to say to us about who we are. In this series, we're covering about seven traits. I know of at least 36 things the Bible says are true of us. This one is an odd one. We don't think of ourselves as an alien. But I pray that by the time we're done today, we'll understand why we're called just that. Speak to us through your word, Jesus. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we think of ourselves as aliens, I think we're thinking a lot less like the creature with three eyes and two antennas and maybe a little more like Superman. because there have been a couple new Superman movies out there in the last few years. I've not seen the latest Batman versus Superman. I've been told by a few that it's not worth my time, so I don't know that I will. But I come from the day of the Christopher Reeves Superman movies. That was the good day, at least until they got to Superman 3, and it was kind of downhill from there. But those were the good movies. And you know, we don't often think of Superman as an alien, friends, but that's what he is because he's from another planet. Who can tell me where he's from? Krypton, right? Krypton. So he comes from the planet Krypton. I know it's all fictional, but we can think of ourselves more like a Superman than like an ET, not because we're men and women of steel who can bend iron and stop bullets with our chest, but because Superman, he looks like he's from here, doesn't he? When you look at him, he looks like he is one of us. When he's in his Clark Kent clothes with those masquerading glasses and you can't tell who he is, he looks just like an average, every average Joe. But beneath Clark Kent's appearances rests a man in stretchy pants. Beneath him rests somebody who's much more than a mere man, right? Who's dramatically different than the rest of the people who are around him. He's set apart for a whole different purpose in life. A purpose that if we live it out, it's going to make a huge impact on this world. Right? Listen, friends, you may look like every other average Joe and Joanne, but as a Christ follower, you're not. You're a Superman. You're a superwoman in this world. You're called out for a special purpose to live different from the way that the rest of the world lives. This world is your temporary home, and you're no longer a citizen here. You belong to God, and you belong to heaven, and you can have a big impact as you live it out in this world, not simply to make it better, but to change the world by leading other people into that same citizenship that we share with Jesus. Now, the truth is that some Christ followers really struggle living out this part of our identity, and there are two major reasons for those struggles. The first is this: people struggle to live out their life as an alien because they see this. The fact is this is not a dual citizenship that we have as Christians. It's not a dual citizenship. A lot of Christ followers live their life as an alien trying to live with a dual citizenship mentality. Yes, they recognize that they now belong to God. They have a citizenship in the kingdom of God, but they don't fully want to let go of their citizenship that they have here in this world. We had a young man in our last church whose name was Chad. Chad was in service for the United States Army. We thank all the veterans today who have served through the military. If you've served, we are so thankful for what you've done. Chad was and continues to serve in the United States Army. He'll probably be a career military man. He served in Afghanistan several times and other places in harm's way and many places not in harm's way. Chad's wife, Brenda, is from Australia. I won't go into how they met, but the fact is they did meet and got married, and then several years ago they did, and then they had a child just a couple years ago. A few years ago, Brenda was received into the United States of America as a citizen. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that cool? Went through the proper process, became a citizen, so she became a United States citizen. And after Brenda became a United States citizen, Chad accepted a 3-year special assignment post to Australia. So she became a citizen. But then they moved back to Australia for 3 years while he served in the military there, and that's actually where they had their baby. Now, here's the thing that I learned through this scenario talking to Chad's dad. While Chad was serving in Australia with his wife living there with him on the post, when Brenda went back to Australia with Chad, she also was a citizen of Australia because Australia receives dual citizenship. So she had citizenship both places. Since she was first a citizen of Australia, she retained her citizenship when she returned. However, if Chad, while he was there with her in Australia, her home country, got a notion, hey, I'll become an Australian citizen too, so that I have that to share with my wife, he couldn't do that without forfeiting his citizenship to the United States of America, because the United States does not honor dual citizenship. And I'm not sure what citizenship their child would have been born with, having an American citizen and a now an Australian-American citizen. My guess is the child may have had dual citizenship as well, but Chad could not. And here's my point in this illustration, friends. As citizens of God's kingdom, there is no dual citizenship. God's kingdom also doesn't have dual citizenship. Once you become a citizen of God's kingdom, you forfeit your citizenship to this world. Some people try to live with one toe in both places, one in heaven and one in the world, but you know what? That just doesn't work, because it's kind of like trying to have one toe in Australia and have one in the United States, both physically at the same time. There's no way to do that without ripping yourself in half, and I don't recommend that. That's not a very good way to go. It doesn't work well in being a citizen of God's kingdom either, because think about it like this. The world is going one direction, isn't it? It's going a different direction than God's. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that, but it takes someone who acknowledges, who knows Jesus, to acknowledge it. The world is going real fast in another direction that's not God's. And if God's leading you one way and the world is leading you the other way, what's going to happen? You're going to become like a wishbone on Thanksgiving morning that gets cracked right in two. In all actuality, what happens is if you're trying to keep a toe and go in the world's way and go God's way, you're just going to slowly get pulled away from God's way. That's what's going to happen if you try to keep that dual citizenship intact. You know, friends, I find it more than ironic that the alien chapter of Geiger's book, we're going through this book, Identity, in our life groups right now and doing a series based off of our identity. And I find it more than ironic that his book, this chapter about being an alien, falls on the weekend after Veterans Day, a weekend after a highly intense presidential election with highly intense effects in our country. I really do. Because here's the thing, I didn't plan it this way. I felt led for us to go through the book Identity and to do a series based off of it and to have these groups where we'd meet and all this, but I didn't plan where the chapters were going to fall. I didn't even realize it until just a few weeks ago that it was going to fall on the day where our citizenship is challenged after Veterans Day weekend. I'm not trying to pick fights with any veterans. I know I would lose. I don't want to do that. But I am all in for speaking the truth of who we are as Christians, and the Bible is clear that our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is God's kingdom. I believe, friends, that God has us in this chapter this week on purpose, because he really wants to get our attention to focus on the main thing being the main thing. Yes, we love our veterans and those who served our country. Yes, we love the United States of America. Yes, we're patriotic toward our country and all of that. And we want the United States to be blessed, all of those things. But get this, if you've truly given your life to Jesus, then your citizenship is to God's kingdom is greater. Then your love for God's kingdom is greater. Your patriotism to God's kingdom is greater. And get this, we may love America, but God loves America more. And he's not even a citizen here. So your citizenship to God's kingdom isn't this dual citizenship. You can love America, I do, and love it greatly, but you're called to love God's kingdom more. It's God over country, God over the world. And we love and we honor veterans, but we come here and we come to this place to worship God, not our country. And that's a struggle for some people in this part of our identity. Here's a second struggle that some have with this part of our identity. The struggle is you no longer fit in this world the way that you used to. You see, as you grow closer and closer to Jesus, what happens is you become less and less like this world. And you don't fit the way that you used to. Do you ever just kind of think to yourself when you're running in those circles with people who don't yet know Jesus, how you just kind of begin to feel like, you know, I don't really fit anymore with these people. Maybe it's coworkers. Maybe it's in your own neighborhood. Maybe it's non-believing family members. But you just find, I don't fit here the way I did before. Listen, the reason that you feel this way at times is because you're getting closer and closer to Jesus. And get this, Jesus didn't fit in this world either. He didn't fit. He wasn't from here. His citizenship laid with the Father and his Father's country, not his country in this world. And his walk and his path were different from others in this world. You see, Jesus was the original Superman. He was the original Superman, and we, as we become more and more like Jesus, like the words in the song that Mike just sung with us this morning, we begin to realize that I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world, give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. Now, if you're doing the dual citizenship thing, you're really trying to live both places, then you might be not noticing this as much, because the truth is you're not growing closer to Jesus, you're growing closer to the world. And you can't stay entangled in the world and the things of the world and still honor your full citizenship to Jesus. In his book, Identity, Geiger says this. He says, you are not a citizen here. You are a stranger in this world. You are a foreigner in this land because of your faith. Thus, you feel awkward at times. You often sense that you don't fit. Some people look at you like you're odd. You are odd. You belong to the kingdom of God, not to the kingdom of this world. So listen, friends, to all of you who are feeling a little bit odd out there in the world right now, perhaps it's because you're doing something right. Perhaps it's because you're on the right path of going God's way and not going the world's way. And that's going to make you feel odd sometimes, especially as our world moves further and further and further away from God. Let's do a little bit of look at the context of Peter's writing here a bit this morning that we just read earlier, where he calls us to be aliens and strangers. See, when Peter wrote this letter in the Bible through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's writing a people who were facing great persecution. If you're reading the Identity book on your own, you're going to read about this in your chapter this week. But at the time that Peter wrote this, Rome had been burned to the ground. And there was great speculation to the cause of the fire, and Nero, the Roman emperor, was accusing the Christians of doing this. Christians were being watched very closely for inconsistencies in their lives to see if this thing that they were living, if it was for real. Remember that it wasn't like today where there's a church every few blocks in every small town like Tiffin or Fremont. Christianity was new. No one understood it. They didn't understand why people were giving their lives to it and to this person named Jesus. And do you know what it looked like, what they looked like to the people in their society? They looked like strangers. They looked like aliens in their world. Here's the thing, friends, that part's not changed. Christians are still held under the microscope from an unbelieving world. We're looked at as closed, fanatical, narrow, uneducated, judging, and hypocritical. Geiger writes, Peter begs these Christians to live out their identity as aliens and strangers. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. Peter is pleading, please get this. Please live out the reality of your identity. And that pleading is so very real for us today too, friends. The world is still watching us. And Peter says to abstain from the sinful desires of this world and instead live out the good life in front of people, living life, doing the right thing. Geiger goes on to say, because we know that nothing hurts the cause of Christ more than Christians who do not live out their faith. Nothing hurts the movement of the gospel more than our failing to live what we say we believe. The Hindu leader Gandhi reportedly said, I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are not like or unlike your Christ. Friends, people who think they're turned off by God often aren't turned off by God at all. They're turned off by people as they represent God poorly. So I'm begging you and I'm pleading with you this morning to live out your identity as an alien and a stranger, a Superman and a Superwoman in this world. You and I are different from the ways of the world. We're set apart for a purpose. So what makes us different? Here are three things Geiger points out that makes us different. The first thing different about us is this, is we have a different leader. We have a different leader. See, God is a God of order. He's not chaotic. He never flies off by the seat of his pants. And the Bible's filled with things that help us to put order to our lives. And one of the things the Bible communicates to us is that God allows different leaders at different times. If you like the elections, presidential choice or not, friends, know that God allows different leaders for different times. Not all leaders in our country or in this world are godly leaders, as if I needed to tell you that. Most of the leaders of the world are not godly leaders. A country tends to move in the direction, however, of its leadership. That only makes sense until maybe there's some sort of uproar that demands a change of direction or someone else gets into leadership that moves it in another direction. But here's the good thing for you and me as Christ followers. We have a leader who doesn't waffle. We have a leader who doesn't change. We have a leader who doesn't just go with the flow and change with popularity, because we're a citizen of another kingdom, the kingdom of God, and that kingdom is led by Jesus. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians 3, 18 through 20. It says, for as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears. That means he's very passionate here about what he's going to say. As I'm saying with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. That's what Paul says. Friends, without God as your leader, you're going to follow whatever feeds your current stomach, your current appetite. That's exactly what the world teaches us. If you crave it, then go get it. Go out and find it. Go out and do it. Do whatever you want. Do whatever pleases you. But you're a citizen of heaven, and that means that you follow a different leader. You follow Jesus. Geiger says, as Christians, we submit to the authorities placed over us in this world, but the ultimate leader, our ultimate leader is Christ. We simply follow him. Jesus called the disciples, his call to them was simple. Drop your nets and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I'll change you. I'll make you into something else. And that's what they did. They dropped their nets, which meant they dropped really all that they knew. They dropped their livelihood. They were fishermen. That's what they did. And now they began to walk another way, to walk a new life. Over time, we've complicated this very simple call of making Christianity made by Christ, and we've made Christianity into some institution, something it was never meant to be. And followers of Christ have missed what the church's mission is, simply bringing people to Jesus. Let me give you an illustration of that. Listen, in 1892, this was the United Methodist, what was the United Methodist? Then the Methodist Church's Book of Discipline, this tiny little book. Here it is today. You notice the difference? Here's a whole other book that is our Book of Resolutions, telling us how we're supposed to live our faith. When the only book that we really need is this one. It's called the Bible. We've made it complicated. We've turned it into some big fat institution. Instead of simply bringing people the gospel, bringing them to Jesus. Here's the second thing that's different about us as aliens and strangers in this world, friends. We have a different law. We have a different leader, and we have a different law. We're all subject to the laws of the land, aren't we, that we live in? We have the laws of America that we live by, but if we travel to another country, we follow the laws of that country. However, Humanity loves to make a bunch of laws, and laws have their place, but when your identity is in Jesus, you recognize that the governing law of your life is from a different place. Even the church can get too bound up in laws at times. The church can become pharisaical and legalistic, setting some rules that really aren't biblical at all. And God's laws aren't laws like that. They're laws of the heart. They don't govern you as much as they prepare you to be surrendered and submitted to God. That's what his laws are for, to bring us to a place of understanding our sin and submitting ourselves to God. That's what it's for. Geiger writes, the law in the kingdom of God is unlike the law of the world. The law you obey is a complicated list of rules and regulations. You submit to the law of the Spirit. Galatians 5:18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And further down in Galatians 5:25, this is my life verse. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Third thing that's different of us as aliens is we have a different language. We have a different leader, we have a different law, and we have a different language. Several years ago, I did a mission trip to Mexico. One of the things that I did there, it was really cool, is I preached on the street at a street service. It was an amazing experience. Now, there was one problem with me preaching there is I don't speak Spanish. I can say burrito, enchilito. I can say cinnamon twist. That might make some people hungry, but not the right kind of hungry. They're not going to know what I'm talking about. So the problem was solved with an interpreter who was a much fierier preacher than I was. He transformed what I said into being much greater than what I said. It was pretty awesome. If I didn't have an interpreter, get this, my preaching would have been just a bunch of nonsense to these people. They'd have walked away. They wouldn't have even understood what I was saying. And here's the thing, as aliens and strangers in this world, what happens is that the world's message begins to become a bunch of nonsense to us. As you're growing closer to Jesus, it'd be like the world is speaking a different language because you begin to live different and you begin to think different. It no longer makes sense to you to think that making more money is going to solve your problems. It no longer makes sense to think that a bigger house brings bigger satisfaction, that taking care of myself should be my priority, that lying to get ahead is what everybody else would do, that happiness comes from having, and that greater joy comes from acquiring. Those things no longer make sense to us once we start to walk in God's kingdom. Those messages, that language of the world begins to become nonsense to us. We don't even know it anymore. Jesus says in John 10:27, listen to this, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Friends, we have a new language that's speaking a whole new way, a whole new voice that we're listening to. And Geiger puts it this way, he says, as a citizen of heaven, you hear the language of God's kingdom. Throughout the day, God is speaking. You see him at work in your office, on your job site. You hear his voice, not audibly, but internally. You sense his presence in the way that on your way to work. You see him in creation and on your vacations. I mentioned earlier, Brett was just in Beth were on a vacation and on Lake Cumberland, and he put some pictures I saw on Facebook, and it's talking about God's creation and some of the things that he saw there. Your vacations change. Because you're seeing things differently through the Creator God that you know. Listen, the question isn't, is God speaking? The question, he is speaking. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? What voices are we listening to in this life? Since we have a different leader, we have a different law, and we have a different language, it necessitates a different response out of our lives as citizens that aren't from this world. It does so in two ways, two responses. One is this, we need to hold back from sin. Friends, if we're going to live different from this world, as aliens and strangers, we have to hold back from sins. Until we're in heaven with Jesus someday, we'll all struggle with sin. We will. We'll never eliminate all of it. But what makes us different than the world is that we don't just embrace the sin. and go out and say, you know, hey, it's okay. As long as I'm not hurting anybody else, I'll do whatever I want. And by the way, you inevitably always hurt somebody else. Inevitably. We may not be able to eliminate every sin in our lives, but we can break the habits of sin. That cycle of sin we've talked about before. We can strive to live right in every way. And James helps us to see how sin happens. He lays out the order of when we're tempted and how sin takes place. In James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, here's what he says. He says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So first of all, right off the bat, we know God's not provoking us to sin. God never tries to lead you into sin. He's not going to test you or tempt you to do that. It doesn't come from him. It goes on. Here's where it comes from. But each one is tempted when? By his own evil desires. He is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. You see, we still have this battle that's going on inside of us, even as Christ followers, even as Christians. It's this old nature and this new nature we now have in Christ that is battling. And with that nature, that old sinful nature, rests those old desires towards sin. And Satan knows what they are, and he will tempt us to drag us and entice us and pull us away. He recognizes those things in us, so he'll use those desires that are already our own. It's not sinning to be tempted. The temptation isn't the sin. It's when we act on that temptation, and that desire then is conceived in us, and it says that it gives birth to sin in our lives. In short, sin is acting on the temptation to a desire that we know is wrong. And sin that goes unchecked, that goes unconfessed, leads to death. Speaking of a spiritual death, a separation from God. Our identity in Christ is strengthened if we hold back from the sin, the sinful act. Here's the second response that we have. The second response we need to have is this, is to live well among people. Live well among people. We're to live differently with a different leader, a different law, and a different language, choosing to live right lives that honor God. But we're not supposed to do that just in these holy huddles inside what we call the church, with just other Christ followers in these walls, or just in our life groups, or just where we're with other Christians. We're supposed to live that way out in the world that's far away from God. And when we do that, we begin to change the world. We become supermen and superwomen, not because we're unbreakable and unbeatable like Superman, but because we're real people living out our faith with real people who don't yet know Jesus. And that, friends, is what an unbelieving world finds absolutely believable when they see us living out this relationship among them. And many will exchange their earthly citizenship for a kingly, a kingdom, a heavenly citizenship with Jesus. So friends, here's the thing. Good, bad, or ugly, we've just elected a new president of the United States of America. You may be happy about the results, you may be saddened by them, or you may be scared to death, or it may be all of the above. Regardless, let's close this morning where we began, with real hope, where it comes from. Peter's words in 1 Peter 2:11 through 12. Listen to these again, because this is our hope. Our election is a president. Our election is Christ. Listen to these words again. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers, which war against your soul. Oops, I've skipped ahead. As aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your souls. Live such good lives among the pagans, those people who don't yet know Jesus, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. Our lives are our pursuit to to bring glory to God. Regardless of whether our nation or our world does, we need to, because our citizenship is God's kingdom, where God is still on the throne over any president, over any ruler, over any nation, over any planet. Let's pray together. God, I thank you this morning because I may have stepped into an election booth on Tuesday, but I elect Jesus. Jesus is my king. Jesus is my leader. I follow his law. I use his language. I become more like Jesus in this world that's going crazy. A president will never change our world. Only Jesus will. He'll use whoever he wants to do that. It may be a president that he uses, but Jesus changes. And God, I stand in this room now with a whole room of people who are supermen and superwomen, set apart by the Holy Spirit to live a life different that will change the world around us. May we embrace our identity as aliens and strangers in this world, bringing a message of a new citizenship to this world about Jesus. The simple call of the church to bring people to Jesus, in whose name we pray, amen. Listen, friends, I understand that today's message is very much a message for people who are Christ followers. And if you're a guest here today and you're just still kind of seeking out who God is, I hope that you have got to connect a little bit with that today. Know that we're so glad you're here. But this really has been a discipleship kind of message for people who have decided to follow Jesus. And it impacts our life greatly. Really, this whole series is kind of that. We end up next week this series by talking about being ambassadors for Christ. Really excited about that as we bring this series to conclusion. And I look forward to seeing you all back next week. Have a blessed week. Thank you.